Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., where we are again getting ready to take a look at the power of God's protection. Natalie Grant is going to help us as she sings, "I Am Not Alone." We've got to hear more of that. Wow. You talking about anointed. That lady is singing that song not only with skill, but with conviction. Conviction. This lady has a connection with her God. He's personal to her. You can tell he's personal to her. I am not alone. How many of us need to be reminded that we are not alone when things really get tough? And things really do get tough in life for everyone. Whether you say you're born again, or whether that's something that you're still considering, or whether it's something you're totally opposed to, we all have tough times. No matter how wealthy, no matter how poor, no matter what gender, we all have tough times. And one of my desires is that, again, regardless of what level of wealth we may or may not have, regardless of how much influence on this earth we may or may not have, one of my greatest desires is that as many people as will, as many people as are willing, will make it a point to connect with the one who created us all, who continues to create people year in and year out. Primarily so that we can have a beautiful relationship with him. One of my greatest desires is that as many people who are willing will enter into a beautiful relationship with the Master. Something about knowing, I mean absolutely knowing, that not only is he real, but he's close, and he can be embraced. That's one of the things that I really like about Jeff Bumgardner's song ministry. He has a way of writing lyrics, writing music, presenting songs that let us know God is real. He is close and he can be embraced. That's what Natalie Grant is doing with this song as she sings, "I'm Not Alone." Be thinking about that song as we discuss the power of God's protection today. Now, remember what I've shared with you before. I'm not going to be dishonest or even deceptive and try to give the impression that God will always give the best of protection to everyone who takes him on as their personal God. I shared with you a number of examples last week that will let you know that's not true. Again, we look at Faith's Hall of Fame, where there were not only people who made it, who really made it, they did well, like Abraham, wealthy. We can think about someone who's not mentioned in by name in Faith's Hall of Fame, Hebrews chapter 11, Joseph, very wealthy man, after having been sold into slavery and imprisoned while in slavery, later promoted to the second highest position in the nation that at that time was the most powerful nation on earth. Daniel, taken as a captive to Babylon, eventually promoted to very high positions. At other times, brought back down, then raised back up and given great wealth up and down. We think about the people in Hebrews 11. God's people who lived in holes in the ground, who wore sackcloth because they could not afford to wear anything else. Think about what the Lord Jesus went through. God allowed him to be beaten. In fact, people plotted his murder, spent months and months, years plotting his murder, saying all kinds of evil things about him, trying to turn the public against him, and they succeeded. And not only did they succeed in finally in turning the public against him, an innocent man, but they also succeeded in having him killed, hung on the cross. And I know some people would say, well, but that's what happened to him. And because Jesus went through all that he went through, none of the rest of the saints would have to go through anything like that. That's what they teach. But this is what Jesus taught. Jesus taught that anyone who would follow him must take up our cross. We must go through whatever suffering we will have to go through. And he signified to Peter how he would die. And told him that when he is old, someone is going to lead him in a place to where he would not go on his own. And Peter was hung on a cross. He insisted on being hung upside down because he did not deserve to be hung on the cross in the same way that his master was. He was hung on the cross, executed. Paul, executed. So don't be too quick to just take for granted that what people tell you when they say we don't have to suffer now because we're in Christ Jesus, don't just assume that what they're saying is correct. Study the scriptures for yourself. And don't just look at the ones that they point to. Study all of God's word from Genesis to Revelation and look for principles, look for specific comments. The scripture teaches us that all who will live godly will suffer persecution. And persecution can be something as light as shutting us out of social events, including those that are attended by churchgoers. It could be something as heavy as killing us. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that as we get closer to the time of the Great Tribulation, in fact, in the Great Tribulation, people will be locking, having God's people, God's true servants, locked up in prison for following Jesus. You can believe that's suffering. And on, we could go time and we could look at so many scriptures, so many examples of where God teaches that his people do suffer and will suffer. The suffering will not end until the Lord Jesus is on this earth, reigning from Jerusalem on his throne. Now, that will not be perfect peace then either, because there are still going to be people who will sometimes refuse to worship the Lord Jesus, and they're going to pay the price. But remember, at the end of the 1,000-year period that we call the millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of the Lord Jesus, at the end of that 1,000 years, Satan is going to be loosed from the pit where he will have been locked down for that 1,000 years. The end of that 1,000 years, he's going to be let loose again. He's going to deceive the nations again. And there are going to be people from all over who are going to surround the holy city, ready to destroy those of us who will be living in the holy city with the Lord Jesus. And God is going to send fire from heaven and devour them. Then will come the final judgment, which will lead to the final separation of all those who are against God, going to the lake of fire, all those who will have bonded with God forever in his presence. And then God the Father will join with all of his people in a new heaven, on the new earth. And then we will have perfect and eternal peace. Those of us who will have loved God. That is when we will have perfect and permanent peace. I definitely want to invite you again, everyone who is already in that relationship with the Lord Jesus, with God the Father, with God the Holy Spirit, let's continue to strengthen our love for him, our love for them. Those of you who haven't already connected, I'm telling you, it is the most important connection and the most beautiful, the most fulfilling connection you could ever make. So if you need to, do what the Apostle Paul did with regards to all that he had gained. Consider it nothing compared to the fulfillment of connecting with Jesus Christ and having him in your life. Can't beat it. I promise you, you can't beat it. Now, in the meantime, although we don't want to assume that God is always going to protect every one of his people at all times, we do need to know that when God has determined that he is going to protect us, he is going to protect us, and there is nothing he cannot protect us from. He can speak a word, and whatever needs to be done to provide us the protection, done. He can send his holy angels to crush the evil spirits that fight against us and to deal with the evil humans who fight against us. Over the course of time, God can physically shut them down. He can mentally shut them down if they will be wise. Even the enemies of God's people, our enemies, who hate us because they hate God, over the course of time, even they can change their hearts. They can experience a change of heart. Instead of remaining our enemies, become comrades, partners for good. And I think that that is so critical. where we can change, let's change. We've all had to make the change. We were all destined for destruction. None of us born righteous. We had to be born again in order to be made righteous by the Spirit of God. And there's no doubt it can be difficult. There's so many things that we just don't want to give up. Very often, there are sinful pleasures that we don't want to give up. Sometimes it's a matter of just not knowing how to make the connection. And it's so important to always remember that the Lord Jesus reaches out to us first. We never reach out to him first. None of us do. He always reaches out to us first, and he's speaking to us through our consciences. He's speaking to us through radio programs, through TV programs, sometimes to someone who may walk up to us while we're in the store. Never met them before. Maybe you never even seen them before. And God may have a message that he will speak to us through that person. Let's stop being so adamant about resisting God. And let's allow our hearts to become softer, our minds to become much more compliant with what our Creator, what our the Master, the true Master of the universe is saying he wants from us. Most of all, he wants us. It's a beautiful way to live. I've made it clear, it's not a bed of roses. We all have tough times, whether we're connected with God or not. But knowing that eternal peace, knowing that eternal joy are on the other end of the suffering. So I do want you, let's do that, let's do that, let's get with him. Now, we were talking before, as we talked about power, we focused for a while on healing. We're going to get back to healing because there are certainly more that I want us to explore when it comes to healing. But while we were in 2 Kings, I wanted us to move from where we were in the text, where we talked about healing, to talking about protection, because it was right there in the same book, one chapter over. Chapter 5, we took a look at the healing that Naaman, who oversaw the Syrian army, experienced. The man who was healed of leprosy after dipping 7 times in the Jordan River. In chapter 6, we read about the same prophet who instructed Naaman to dip in the Jordan River, having his own challenge. I had mentioned to you that the Arameans, some also called the Syrian army, the Syrians, were at war with Israel. And it wasn't one of those deals where, you know, they went in one day, they fought for about 5 or 6 hours, and then it was over. They were constantly at the Israelites. And so, as we mentioned last time we talked about this, that the king of Aram discovered that the king of Israel knew every move that he was getting ready to make. And as a result, his strategies never panned out. He was upset and wanted to know, who is it who's letting the king of Israel know my every move before I make it? Those who were assisting him let him know, hey, it's Elisha the prophet. He's the one who's revealing what you discuss in your bedroom. That's power, ladies and gentlemen. God, knowing what the king of Aram was planning and conveying the information to his servant, the prophet Elisha. The prophet Elisha, in turn, talking to the king of Israel, so that the king of Aram could never have his plans played out. So he was upset, and he decided he was going to have his army deal with Elisha. So here we are, 2 Kings chapter 6. I'm giving you the backdrop. So here we go. Verse 15. That's where we're going to start when we come back. Verse 15. What is going to happen with Elisha?